Blog Talk Radio.
Sportsaholics 24/7. Thanks for listening in. I'm John, hosting today. I'm joined with Nick. Nick, what's up?
Hey, John.
All right, so we have a lot of topics to talk about today. Going to be a pretty busy show. But before we go on, I just want to quickly give a shout-out to Madrotect, who our opening song is by, and Madrotect just came out with a new song today. Great song. Check it out. Check them out on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook, Madrotect, M-A-D-R-O-T-E-C-T. Check him out. Listen to his music. He's good. All right, so, Nick, first of all, we're going to start off with the Olympics.
Okay.
A great day today on the other side of the border. In Canada, they're partying right now. Not in America. Canada obviously beating the United States 1-0 in the semifinals match of the men's hockey in the Olympics. So, Nick, what were your thoughts in this game? Were you disappointed with the U.S.'s performance, or did you figure Canada was going to win?
Yeah, I don't know anything about hockey. I'm just going to put that out there, so I don't want to sound like I'm more intelligent with the sport than I really am. But basically, usually in any, like the women's hockey, I wasn't surprised Canada won, because I'm sure there's a lot more women that play hockey in Canada than in the U.S. But the U.S. versus Canada, I thought it could have gone either way, because they're both full of NHL players. So there, I really didn't know. But maybe if anything, I would have expected the U.S. to win, because Canada lost John Tavares. That's the only thing.
Yeah, that was definitely a tough injury, and we're going to talk on that in a little bit. But for me, you know, I got to see part of the game. I was in school today, unfortunately. But overall, I'll be honest, I was a little disappointed with the United States performance. Whenever you don't score a goal, I mean, the U.S. is not a bad team. Canada just played much better today. Even though it was only 1-0, Canada really dominated everything. There was one time near the end of the right before the intermission, near the end of the second period,
yeah.
United States got a few shots on goal. They had a power play. Couldn't come through, though, and that kills them when you can't score on power plays. And you know what? Canada obviously is always good at hockey. We have basketball, baseball, football, every other sport. We'll give them hockey, whatever.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, that's very true.
One last thing about Olympic hockey. So just a few, wasn't not a few years ago, but in the 90s about, they made a new rule in the Olympics that you could be a professional and compete in the Olympics. Before that, you had to be an amateur athlete to compete in the Olympics. Now, some countries, like the Soviet Union, people suspected that they were professionals and all that stuff, but now professionals are allowed to do it. So John Tavares, star of the New York Islanders, gets injured last game for the Canadiens, torn ACL, out for the year. Nick, you're an Islanders fan. You're obviously mad about this. Should professionals be allowed to play in the Olympics?
No, absolutely not. And because the Olympics it's meant for amateurs. So why should professionals be playing? Like, for example, in basketball. I never, ever, ever in a million years watch Olympic basketball simply because it's just the USA dominating everybody. I mean, listen, I see enough of LeBron from November to June. Why do I need to see LeBron in the Olympics? Same thing with the NHL. These guys are professionals. There's no reason why they have to put a hold on the NHL season and so they can play in an event that's meant for amateurs. It should just be amateurs. Give the amateurs a chance. I want to see how well the amateurs do. We know the professionals. We know how well they play. We don't need to see them again.
Yeah, I kind of agree to you to a certain point. I understand your reasoning behind that. However, would you rather see some no-name guy play basketball or LeBron James? And I know what you were just saying, I understand that, but for me the answer is LeBron James. I want to see the best of the best play. And you know what? It hasn't been the United States dominating. Maybe the last Olympics, maybe the one before that too, the U.S. won gold. But the U.S. lost to Greece in, what was that, 2002 Olympics. They won the bronze medal. That was really disappointing. I think that was in Australia. They lost to Greece. That was, and, you know, the dream team, obviously, in the 90s was incredible.
Greece dominated.
But
yeah.
Let's look at hockey now. The United States has a good team, like we said earlier. And I honestly don't watch the NHL. So for me, it's not like I see these guys play all the time. And I love Olympic hockey, even though I don't like hockey in general. So I like to see the best of the best on display from all these countries. And I think it's cool to see guys that are, you know, in the NHL but that are not stars play for countries like Latvia or whatever and compete in the Olympics. I like to see that. I like these guys to have a chance to play, to be the star of their team.
Yeah, I do see what you're saying. I mean, I do. At the same time, though, you could look at it in the same perspective as college basketball in a way, in terms of the best of the best. Are the best players in the world in college? No, but yet college basketball has so much more passion than the NBA and things like that. Just for example, like, I would rather see amateurs get a chance. I get to learn. I get to see new players. I get to see what they can do. Whatever, because just because they're amateurs doesn't mean they're great players. I do see your point about them being no names, but to be quite honest, I've seen so much of LeBron. I know what you're going to say. Listen, I appreciate him, but at times I do kind of take him for granted, I'll admit. But like I said, I see him from November to June. Throughout the entire year, I turn on ESPN. It's just a big picture of LeBron James and what he ate for breakfast that day. I mean, I think I've had enough of LeBron, okay? I'd rather see the amateurs. I'd rather see what they can do. I think they would play with a lot of passion, absolutely, because they're amateurs and not professionals, and they would really be trying to prove themselves. LeBron really doesn't have that much to prove in the Olympics. So I would really like to see those guys play and, you know, just give the amateurs a chance, you know?
All right. So I guess we'll agree to disagree on this situation.
Yes.
Now, let's move on now. The NBA trade deadline was yesterday. And there were some deals that went through, no really big-time deals. But one thing that was, you know, probably the biggest deal of the day was between the Sixers and the Pacers. The Pacers acquired Danny Granger, who's a great offensive player, while the Pacers acquired Evan Turner, who's a young player from out of Ohio State, who, you know, probably a little disappointing because a really high draft pick. So, Nick, what's your take on this trade, and who won the deal? Who had a better side of it?
Wow. Well, Danny Granger is a little over the hill right now, although he is a much better player than Evan Turner. And who's
the
other guy they got, the Pacers?
I'm not sure exactly who. I just know the main people in the trade were Evan Turner and Danny Granger.
They got Dan.
I'm not sure. I forgot who this person was.
Danny Granger is a much better player than Evan Turner. But at the same time, Evan Turner is still young, and who knows? Like, he does. I've seen him play. He certainly does have potential. Well, Danny Granger is a little over the hill. He doesn't have that many years left, especially compared to Evan Turner.
Yeah.
So who knows? You really have to. I mean, we'll find out who won the deal. I mean, to be honest,
I just checked the Pacers got Lavoy Allen as well.
Oh, that's right. It was Lavoy Allen. I mean, Lavoy Allen, he's really not that great. But I don't really think the Sixers made exactly the right move because, think about it, Danny Granger is, I'm sure, worth a lot of money. I don't know how much he's worth, but because he's so good, he's worth money. But he's not going to turn the team around. The Sixers are still going to suck. So I don't understand what the point is, wasting all that money. While, you know, like, I mean, if I were a Sixer fan, like for the Knicks, for example, I'd rather see the Knicks lose with sticky players than waste a bunch of money and lose with the best. You know what I mean? So I think they should stay kind of cheap because Danny Granger, yeah, I'll make the team better, but he's not going to, I don't think they'll even make it out of last place. So I think it's kind of a waste of money for them. And Danny Granger is probably going to be on the team for, what, 1 or 2 years? I just don't see what they're getting out of it.
Exactly. I think a main thing they were trying to do was, I think this could have been a little bit for ticket sales maybe, because I've been watching some of their games. No one goes, and I don't blame them. The Sixers are probably the worst team in the NBA. And by getting a guy like Danny Granger, you know, if I'm a Sixers fan, that's kind of exciting for me. I want to go to a few more games. Want to see him play. Maybe they won't make the playoffs. They definitely won't make the playoffs, actually.
They definitely won't make the playoffs, without question.
Yeah, no, they won't make the playoffs. But at the same time, I think this does improve their team right now because they have a guy that can score. It's a good scorer, and that's a position that they were missing. They needed a scorer. And, you know, they got rid of a few guys, opened up another roster spot. So we'll have to see what the Sixers do. Now, Nick, you're a big Knicks fan.
Yes.
A lot of people thought the Knicks were going to trade Shumpert, thought they were maybe trade Felton, maybe even Carmelo.
Yeah.
Were you upset by the Knicks not making any moves, or do you think that the team they have now can do something, and this offseason they could sign some good players?
To be honest, I'm upset. Listen, I'm not Glenn Grunwald. I don't have a whole plan laid out or anything. But from my perspective, I really think that they should keep Shumpert, but at the same time, it's kind of a leap of faith because we have to hope that he stays healthy. Raymond Felton, I would trade him away. Vino Udra, I mean, he probably has no trade value anyway. I mean, I'd trade him for a bag of chips. But even him, I'd trade away Ben Udra, too. But you really have to – it's almost like they have to put together a brand-new team. And a lot of it is up to Melo. We don't know if Melo is going to stay or go. I wouldn't be surprised if he stays. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes. But Raymond Felton, I just don't think he's been that effective. Prigioni, I don't think he's been very effective either. So I would like to see them get who they can. Now, Kyle Lowry is off the table. There's no way in heck Toronto is going to trade Kyle Lowry. That would be a very stupid move. But, I mean, who are they going to get for Raymond Felton? That's kind of tough, but they should be able to try to get who they can. Shumpert, I don't think they should trade him. Bargnani, I would love to see them trade Bargnani, but he's hurt, so he has no trade value right now anyway. But it's hard. It's kind of hard to tell, but I do think they should make changes because one of the biggest problems with the Knicks right now is that they win. Games that they win or only lose by a little bit, James Dolan, Glenn Grunwald, everybody in the front office is like, oh, bad luck, because, you know, we'll do better next time. No, BS. We have to make changes. I remember just a few years ago, it was the same thing with the Jets. The same exact thing. But because the front office, when the team doesn't play horrible, they don't want to make changes. And James Dolan is clearly not willing to make any changes. And neither is Glenn Grunwald, evidently.
I'm actually going to have to disagree with you on this.
Okay.
Listen, the Knicks clearly have to make some changes.
Yeah.
However, I don't think the situation they were in yesterday – or any day before the trade deadline was a situation that the Knicks would want to make a trade with. I don't think there were any good enough players on the trading block that the Knicks should have gotten. Yeah, maybe Kyle Lowry, some rumors about that. But I don't know. I think they have a better chance in free agency. Maybe be bad for a few years. Re-sign Melo and this year in the offseason, be bad for a year or two, get a good draft pick, maybe you want to trade that away, do that. Because the Knicks in New York City is such an appealing place to play for the top free agents in the NBA. You look at guys like Kevin Durant, who's going to be a free agent soon. LeBron might opt out. Who knows about that?
LeBron.
A lot of good players are ending near the end of their contracts. So I think, you know, while clearly the Knicks have to make some changes, I don't know if the situation was right for them to make any trades, and I don't know why they would trade Shumpert. Shumpert, to me, being an outsider, I'm not a Knicks fan, I'm just an outsider looking in. To me, he's a good young player, and they drafted him to be a defensive specialist, but you know what? He's a decent offensive player. He's serviceable on offense.
He can play on offense, that's the thing. The guy can
play definitely.
On
great athlete, young guy. Yeah, he's a little injury prone.
That's the only thing. He has injury problems.
Exactly.
That's the only thing. I obviously haven't talked to the trainer of the Knicks, but I really don't know how how big of an issue it is. But me being as a fan, I'm like, I want to keep him. Because we need we need as many defensive players as possible. Because this team can't play defense. It's the worst. It's like movie theater security. So I would rather see them keep a defender, especially a perimeter defender, because God help Melo and J.R. Smith trying to play defense because they don't even move their feet. You might as well give them wheelchairs. So that's one of the main reasons I'd rather keep Shumpert. And I remember before they were thinking of trading Tim Hardaway Jr., that clearly was not a good idea. I mean, they're not even thinking about that anymore because he's been playing so well. But when Bargnani gets better, trade him because clearly they play better without him. Bargnani is the last thing the Knicks need. They just need a big man who's an outside jump shooter who can't play defense. Like, that's the rest of the team. You can't – it was stupid that they brought in Bargnani in the first place. And I'm saying, fire Mike Woodson. Bring in a new coach. James Dolan seems to be unwilling to make changes, and you should not have I'm sure you've heard the saying, you shouldn't be satisfied with mediocrity. And you know what? The Knicks should not be satisfied because this season is completely unacceptable. It really is heartbreaking as a Knicks fan.
All right. Now we're going to move on from the Knicks, but before we do that, we have about 13 and a half minutes left in the show. As always, we're going to be taking your calls, your questions, your comments about anything we've talked about, anything you want to talk about. That number to call in is 347-884-8496. Once again, 347-884-8496. Now we can talk a little bit about the Nets. There's some rumors that the Nets did work out former NBA player Jason Collins. Oh, wait, we have a call.
Okay.
Hi, thank you for calling in to Sportsaholics 24/7. What's your name and where are you from?
This is Nolan.
From where?
Nowhere.
Okay. What's your question or your comment?
Comment, sir.
Will the Knicks make the playoffs?
Now, we have to make this quick.
Probably not.
But,
I hope so, but probably not.
I don't
not
think they will.
Simply because Mike Woodson can't coach. And, you know, the Knicks defense is awful. It's absolutely awful. Mike Woodson doesn't know how to coach a basketball team. And they don't, to be honest, they don't deserve to make the playoffs. I really hope I'm wrong. But if you can't stay consistent, if you're getting blown out at home, there's no way you're going to make the playoffs. They have to stay consistent. They should be beating a team like Memphis.
All right. Thank you very much for – you have another question?
How is it possible that if a person is averaging 30 points a game, a team is not getting more wins?
All right. I have a very simple answer for that, okay? No one from nowhere. All right. Simple answer for that. 32 points is not enough to win a game. In the NBA, in college basketball, in high school basketball, 32 points is not enough. I know he's scoring a lot, Carmelo's scoring a lot of points, a ton of points. 32 is a lot. But if no one else in his team is scoring and they're not playing defense and he's not playing defense and they have a bad, you know, bad locker room, they have some issues on that team, you're not going to win.
No way.
All right, thank you very much for calling in. All right, now let's move on to Jason Collins. He worked out with the Nets. We're going to keep this quick, just quick 2 minutes about this. But Jason Collins, former Nets center during their glory days in the early 2000s when they made the finals back-to-back years. And now Jason Collins, at the end of last season, came out as being gay. And if the Nets do sign him and he plays, he will become the first openly gay athlete in the four major professional sports. Now, Nick, well, two questions for you. One, how big of a deal is it that if the Nets were to sign him, he'd be the first openly gay athlete in professional sport? And second of all, does this move make sense for the Nets?
Well, first of all, I'm going to go backwards. It's, the move doesn't make any sense for the Nets because Jason Collins did nothing last year. He averaged a little bit over 1 point per game, 1.5 rebounds per game, hardly any blocks per game, and his player efficiency rating was like 3. There is no – I don't understand what he's going to do for this team. I just don't understand. There is no reason – I mean, the only argument for it is that the Knicks, other than Mason Plumlee, really don't have a center. But I'd rather have Mason Plumlee than Jason Collins because he hasn't – listen, the guy's old. He's over the hill. And I just don't understand what the Nets gain from that. The only thing they gain from it is getting fans in the seats. But other than that, it's a waste.
All right, I'll tell you what they gain from it. The Nets just acquired Marcus Thornton. The Nets just acquired Marcus Thornton, all right?
Okay.
They have now – they traded away Reggie Evans. They traded away Jason Terry. Jason Terry, in return for him, they got a point guard. That satisfies that. Reggie Evans was a guy that came in for a few minutes, got a bunch of rebounds, played tough, hard-nosed defense, didn't score, but he rebounded and played defense, okay? Jason Collins doesn't score, but he rebounds and plays defense. I actually think that Jason Collins, if they were to sign him, will be an upgrade from Reggie Evans, and here's why. Yes, maybe Reggie Evans will get more rebounds. Maybe Reggie Evans will play a little better defense, a little quicker, whatever, younger. But the biggest issue with Reggie Evans was when he got the ball on offense, nothing good happened. He would take terrible shots. He would travel. He would turn the ball over. And listen, I'm not saying Reggie Evans is a dumb guy, but Jason Collins, he went to Stanford. I know it doesn't have much to do with playing basketball, but it shows his IQ in general is just very high, and he knows what his limitations are. He's not going to go in there, get the ball, try to post up a guy, Dwight Howard or whatever, and try to score. No.
But
he's going to get the ball, swing it around, set good hard picks, rebound the basketball, play defense. So if the Nets get Jason Collins, good for them. Not only will it be a social milestone and, you know, our history, the United States, and in sports. But it could also be an okay signing for the Nets. This is not going to make them into a championship contender. But I think it'll affect them positively.
Yeah, I mean, I do see that point. But what you have to keep in mind about Jason Collins is that the guy's over, he's 35. For a basketball player, that's pretty old. Not as old for a big man, but I do think that Mason Plumlee is going to be the future center for the Nets. I think one of the main reasons why they're thinking of getting him is, like, in addition to Mason Plumlee, and it gives Plumlee some competition, because Kevin Garnett, I'm sure you can agree with me, is not built to be a center. He's a power forward.
Yeah.
Kevin Garnett, if I'm a coach, I don't want Kevin Garnett to be my center. He's a great player, but I don't want to be my center. So I do see the reasoning why, but he's over the hill. Last year, he was ineffective. He scored 1 point per game, 1 rebound. Like, if you look at his stats, everything is, like, 1. Okay? Everything is 1. No, I just don't see. I mean, on paper, he looks terrible. But, like you said, I remember when he played, he played decent defense. He was smart. He got rebounds. So I do see your point.
All right.
Now,
let's move on.
First openly gay athlete in all 4 sports, I've got to answer that. I mean, it's a big deal and it's not a big deal at the same time. One of the reasons why I don't think it's that big a deal is because Michael Sam is going to be the first in the NFL anyway, so we know that's coming. But it is a big deal for obvious reasons because, I mean, listen, that's huge. First openly, I mean, I guarantee you there have been other gay basketball players, but not openly. Like
oh, no, there have. There have been gay basketball players that came out after they retired.
Well, after they did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, while they were playing, they never came out. But
no.
But it's a huge milestone because, well, partly because we don't know how people would, well, I think I had to get a sense of how people would react. Locker room issues would be the only thing I could think of because, I mean, it might make other players feel uncomfortable. And, of course, I would hope that nobody would, like, harass them in the locker room. To be honest, I don't think any of them would. I really don't think any of them would because basically all of the media is on Jason Collins' side. We can all say that. But in terms of, I mean, first gay athlete to play in professional sports, we have that coming with Michael Sam. So I don't see it being that big a deal. But, I mean, I don't think that should really – I mean, other than the fact that it puts fans in their seats to see an openly gay basketball player, I don't think I think it's a little bit irrelevant. I don't think they should look at his sexual orientation and say, because you're gay, we need you. I just don't think they should do that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that last point. All right, now we have just under 5 minutes to go. We're going to move on to our final topic. And once again, before we move on, if you want to call in, we already had a call today. Any questions, comments, concerns, whatever, the number to call in is 347-884-8496. Once again, 347-884-8496. Now, just quickly, we have 4.5 minutes to go on the show. Syracuse, who was undefeated previously, number one of the country, lost at home to Boston College, who one of the worst teams in the ACC. It's not fathomable to me, really, how this happened. Listen, I understand that Syracuse was overrated. If they stayed undefeated, they're going to lose in the Sweet 16. I'm going to tell you that right now. Maybe even before that. They're not a good team. I don't like them.
Here's my take on Syracuse, okay? John, let's think of it this way. Say me, you, Jordan, and Brandon decide to go out to dinner one night. I want Italian. I want, like, pizza. You want Chinese food. Jordan wants tacos. And Brandon wants sushi, okay? And there's those four places, and then we can go to a buffet. And that has everything. That's what Syracuse is. They are the buffet that has everything. They have Raheem Mostert. They have Tyler Cooney, who can shoot threes. They have Jeremy Grant as a small forward, who has an excellent perimeter game. They have C.J. Fair, who is like a buffet within himself, who can drive to the basket. He has a decent post game, excellent ball handler, excellent jump shot. Okay, and who did I miss? And they have Tyler Rennes, an excellent distributor, and he can make big shots at the end of the game. I don't see what else they need. This team needs. I don't see how they're not a good team. Explain to me how they're not a good team.
I want to make this quick, since we only have 3 minutes to go. There is something, in my opinion, about Syracuse that doesn't matter how good they are. This is just recent history, because I know they won championship in the early 2000s. I don't know what it is. I just don't view them as a team that, like, dominates, really. I don't know why. I know they're good. I'm not denying that. But I think this team is going to be upset in the Sweet 16. Mark it down right now, folks. This team is going to lose in the Sweet 16. So anyone who's going to be making a bracket, don't put them as your national champion, because they're not going to be the national champion.
I think so.
That.
I do think they have a very good chance. Simply because they're a buffet. That's where everybody wants to go to. They're the buffet. What's going to get more business, the buffet or the place that just has pizza? The buffet.
All right. That's an interesting comparison. That's unique. I actually never heard that one before. But I don't know exactly what it is. I just watch this team. They've had a ton of close games, a lot of lucky breaks. And luck does not win championships.
No.
I'm just thinking about some recent teams that have been lucky, in particular in college sports. Notre Dame in the national championship a few years ago, they were lucky that whole season, blown out by Alabama. In Syracuse this year, lucky in two games, and they lose to Boston College. So they're showing that they're not invincible.
Boston College is even good. I mean, nobody can match up. I mean, clearly, I didn't get to watch the game. But my guess is that Syracuse, they were mentally not there, and they were sloppy.
We have a call quickly. Hi, thanks for calling in. Who do we have here?
Hey, this is Noah from Roslyn.
Hey, Noah. We have 50 seconds left, so make this quick.
All right, yeah. Syracuse, I think the problem is they play down to their opponent's level. I think they play either down or they play up. And that's really bad for them. And they did it with Boston College. They usually get lucky and pull out within the end. But you know what? They just couldn't do it this time. And I think, you know what? On Saturday, tomorrow, they're going to get burned by Duke. And it's going to be a big wake-up call for Syracuse and their fans. And also, if you have Syracuse gone past the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8 even, that buffet is going to give you food poisoning. It's not going to turn out pretty. That's all I got to say. I'll talk to you later. Nice listening to you.
All right.
Great job.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Noah. All right. Well, that buffet, Nick, that was great. We have 5 seconds to go on the show. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening.
Okay.